We warmly welcome Linda as our speaker for this Monday Night Crew Miracles meeting on March 9th. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. And Linda, I'll pass it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Olivia, very much for asking me to share. My name is Linda. I'm an anorexic, bulimic, compulsive exerciser. And really, it's an honor to be here tonight, and I'm grateful to be your speaker. I want to, first of all, welcome all the people who introduced themselves as new to the program. This is an incredibly powerful program. It has been more powerful than my disease. And that's because I choose to incorporate my higher power, which I choose to call God. And congratulations to the chip takers and the birthday people that introduced themselves. Another attest to the program that works. I come to you tonight expressing my deep, deep gratitude from the freedom of all of my eating disorders and my eating obsessions and my million food rules that I've lived with through all my life. And there's nothing better than being abstinent tonight. Abstinent and free from the obsessions and the voices in my head. And, I have a big life today, and I'm grateful for that. That was not always the case. I'll tell you a little bit about my background. So I come from, first of all, I come from the complete spectrum. I've been an anorexic at low body weight, and I've been, a compulsive overeater because I was a binger and purger. So sometimes I could never, ever get enough food in me. And then, of course, there were the repercussions after that of sticking my fingers down my throat. Such a lovely disease. And, it was the biggest secret I had that I thought I would take to my death. And here I am telling, tens of dozens and hundreds of people about that. Just to give you an idea, I'm 29 years abstinent. That is not perfect abstinence. But I have not binged and purged for that length of time. And my food plan is I eat three meals a day, no matter what. There's no skipping meals. I have definite limits on my exercise, time limits, moderation. I do not eat sugar. And I do not participate in all the different food rules and rituals that I used to have. And I can get to some of those. So I started off. Back when, and I can just remember they used to call me a picky eater. Well, that was anorexia before they had a name, before they actually knew what they were talking about. And I didn't know, but I was a picky eater. And I grew up, it's worth mentioning that I grew up in a very insane, chaotic, and abusive family with two alcoholics, and I was the only kid. And living in that house made me insane. I mean, I was absolutely crazy. And when you live in crazy for some time, you become crazy and your life is crazy. And that's how I operated. And even, leaving that house, I chose to date crazy and my friends were crazy. And it was just insane. And of course, I also developed other addictions. I'm multi-addicted, I'm in a few different programs. God help me, I hope I don't have to start another one. But it was that anorexia that guided my life. And it was all about control. I wanted some type of control. Of course, I was obsessed with controlling my weight, controlling the size of my waist, size of my butt. And I wanted to control everything and anything in my life. Doesn't happen that way. I like to talk about the fact that I suffer from not enoughness. And my not enoughness played out in everything. I didn't feel like I deserved anything. I didn't deserve a lot of things in life, and I would play small in life. And this anorexia is really a life disorder. Growing up, I didn't deserve certain things. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on things. I was very careful and cautious. If I went out set to buy something, it was always straight for the sale rack. Markdowns, whether it had to be on sale, whether it's shoes, clothes, whatever. That not enoughness. And I can remember way back when A friend of mine gave me a very expensive, yummy, yummy smelling cream, and it was just luscious. And I thought, oh, this is so nice. And I put it on a shelf and I left it there and I didn't use it because I didn't deserve it. And that cream sat there. And when I went to use it at one point in time, I had to throw it away because it was rancid, because I was not good enough to use that. Fast forward in recovery, one of my sponsees gave me a really nice, pricey, yummy, yummy, yummy smelling cream. And I used it that night. I slathered it all over my hands when I went to bed because I deserved it. I had broken through so many different parts of my not enoughness. And that's where the program, one of the many ways the program worked for me. Sometimes do I still want to buy this things on sale? You betcha, I love a good sale. But I also deserve buying things that are full price today. You know, it was many years later, I was in college, and that's where the bulimia started. A friend of mine, I remember her to this day, Debbie, she taught me the art of sticking my fingers down my throat and throwing up all my food after I had been an absolute pig at the all-you-can-eat bar. And I thought, wow, this is a great, great idea. And that became my good friend. I could binge like anything. And then what would happen is I couldn't stand how I felt being that full, and I wanted to get rid of it. And so there I would go to the bathroom, throw it up, and it was all the trying to cover it up, you know, trying to make sure no one heard me. You know, I would try to, you know, use the makeup and the eye drops because my eyes were red and I looked like crap. My face would be red after throwing. It was really insane. You know, that went on and on for many years. I went to an OA meeting when I lived in Chicago at one point. What happened for me was, you know, it's like whack-a-mole. Like when one addiction is down, another one comes up like crazy. And by the grace of God, I had an intervention and I began to go to another program for my drinking disorder or my drinking problem. That was a major problem. That either I was throwing up for my purging, or I was throwing up for that, and that was another nightmare. But I don't need to get into that. But the program really worked, and so here I am going to this meeting in Chicago. I didn't hear anything about anorexia or bulimia. I thought, you know what? I can control this, and I really thought I could. I can control this. I'm going to go on, and for 10 more years, it was very, very, very painful. Just, you know, not being able to handle life on life's terms, not being able to deal with the issues and the problems. Everything was all about the eating disorder. I was addicted to the scale. I was living at the gym. I was powerlifting, bodybuilding, and, you know, working out for 2, 3 hours a day, just beating myself up and just a real self-destructive kind of thing. Finally, I got here to LA. I live in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley. And I reached my bottom. And thank God I knew where to go. And I marched myself over to that Valley office, the OA office over on Reseda, if any of you know that. Went to a 100 pounders meeting and I could identify with the speaker and I could identify with how she felt. She talked about the fear and how she lived with the fear and how she ate over the fears she had. And I thought I could really identify. And I knew I was home. And with my prior experience in the other program, I knew that I needed to get a sponsor because I couldn't do it alone. I knew I needed to work the steps. And that's where the changes began, working the steps and trying to incorporate my higher power into my daily reprieve. What I know today is I have a daily reprieve, and that's contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. What I do today is every day I suit up and show up for God. I don't do this alone, and so what I do is I get on my knees and I pray in the morning. I typically like to read a excuse me, a meditation book or two, or sometimes I get a text. I'll read that I get from a fellow, And it's about getting out of my head, because my disease centers in my head. It's in between my ears. It's talking to me. It's trying to take over my life. And it's tied in tightly with my ego. And so, and my ego is definitely not my amigo. So I pray, and I get real specific in my prayers, and I ask God for help. And I ask God to take away any desire to overeat, undereat, binge or purge or starve or overexercise or overdo it and eat any sugar. I get real specific. I don't pray for the lottery. I don't pray for any of that stuff, but I pray for God's help. And I say thank you at the end. And then I do a meditation. I do 20-minute meditation in the morning. That is how I do it. I also do a lot of service and I stay involved with the program. I have got a great sponsor, and you know, she's been around for a much longer time than I have, and she's one of the most spiritual women I know. And I love talking to her, and she helps with my perspective. Some days it's a matter of me reaching out and saying, God, help me with my perspective, help me to see this differently. I will tell you that today is a whole different deal, and I enjoy my life today. I mostly enjoy the freedom from the food. I don't get on a scale no matter what. I get my sponsors okay before I do that. I sponsor other women. I'm of service. I take commitments. And I've got a home group. I go to 5 or 6 meetings a week throughout all the programs. So to soak up all the recovery. And today I know I deserve to be happy and I deserve to be healthy. And I deserve to have good things in my life. I'm married. I have 5 cats. I'm a crazy old cat lady, and I love it. And I enjoy my life today. I want to talk about this past week. This past week for me has been very, very difficult. My husband and I had a trip planned. It was a trip that I've been trying to plan around for 15 years and was really looking forward to this trip. We saved the money, had it all planned. We were going to leave a week from Friday. And through it all, the war started. And because of the war, we had to cancel the trip. Actually, the trip was canceled. And I cannot describe to you how angry I was, how disappointed I was, just how sad I was. And these are the kinds of emotions that really get me into trouble. That really mess with my food and mess with my behaviors. These are the kind of things where I could easily go to the gym and work out for 3 hours and just forget about everything, all the crap in the world, you know. Good or bad or whatever, I'm not saying. It's just that I'm just talking about the incident and our experience of having to cancel this trip. You know, and this is where the tools come in. You know, I got to write about it. I got to pray about it. I got to ask God for help on it. I got to say the serenity prayer, you know, a couple hundred times and talk to my sponsor and talk to others in the program. I got to read through some of the literature. I did all the things I could possibly do to try to get to the point where I could practice acceptance. And I will tell you, life deals with us. Life deals what it deals. Sometimes great things are wonderful. I want to celebrate. I want to eat sugar. And that's none of my food plan. And I got to go back to the tools. Disappointments, they're going to come. And the hard things that we have to deal with. And this was a tough thing for me. But I'm grateful to say the program once again came through. And I was able to get back as I am today to the acceptance and accept that it's not going to happen. Okay, I said to my husband, you know what? I'm disappointed. Why don't we plan something else? Why don't we make another plan to go someplace safe, someplace that's nowhere over near that area, and do something else? Plan B. That's what I get to do today, and to practice acceptance. Acceptance. Also, one of the things I remember, you know, it was back a few years ago. I went over to UCLA in LA, And I took a self-compassion class. And my eating disorder is all about beating up myself and being cruel to myself. Anorexic, the disease of anorexia wants me dead. And so I took this self-compassion class, and it was just really wonderful. And I want to read to you one of the things, because I pulled out the notes from the class because I felt like I needed to reread it. It says, self-compassion, the ability to be kind to ourselves in the face of life's difficulties and in our own shortcomings. So self-compassion is being kind to myself, whether I make a mistake, whether something else happens and I'm having a hard time dealing with it, or I want to beat myself up. I get to practice that self-compassion, to practice telling that little girl it's going to be okay. And some days I just, I need for someone to just say, Linda, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. You don't have to eat over it. You don't have to purge over it. And you don't have to starve over it. And leave that scale in the closet because you have no business on it. And let go of the deprivation. Let go of all that stuff. And practice the acceptance. Couple years ago, I was at my home group, and there was a woman that shared. She's, God bless her, no longer with us. But she had something to share at that meeting that was so profound, and I made a note on it, and I want to share it with you. She asked why they went out, why they slipped in the program. And she said they accepted the things they could have changed. They accepted the things they could have changed, like just to accept it. And I've had to ask myself sometimes, what is it that I can change, that I have power over today, that's within my power to change, that could change my perception, that can change what's going on with me in my head, how I'm relating to this or not relating to this, what's happening with my husband? Do I need to set a boundary? What is it? And these are the things I get to ask myself so that I can be emotionally sober today in this program. There's acceptance, where acceptance is the answer, of course, to all my problems, but there's also what can I change? And sometimes I have to ask my higher power for the courage to change what I need to change, and other times, what is it? What's going on? And a lot of times it's a boundary issue to set my boundaries. I love recovery today. I do love to travel. I love planning other things. I love going to the beach today. The beach is my happy place. I'm retired today. As part of the work I did, I traveled the world. It was a great deal. I can't afford to travel every week anymore, but I do what I can. And to stay within my means. I love this program. It's given me a good life. It's given me a really good life. And balance is the key for me. I want balance today and to practice moderation in all my affairs. I love the slogans, easy does it. Because I can sometimes just really get in there and want to push and push. But I get to let that go and experience the wonder. And one of the things, I'm sponsoring a newcomer right now, and I'm just so grateful that I can sponsor somebody brand new and remember what it was like when I was brand new. It's not easy. It's not easy, but what I will say is this program is doable. And my higher power and this program are stronger than my disease. The connection to other people, mainly today I go to anorexia bulimic meetings. We have a lot of them. If anyone here is anorexic or bulimic, there's a lot going on out there in the recovery for us. But I encourage you to keep coming back. Keep coming back. And if you can't relate to much of what I said tonight, please go to some other meetings. You'll eventually hear your story. And you'll get the encouragement and the words to help you in your recovery. And most of all, I invite you to stay open-minded, to stay open-minded and to be willing to do whatever it is that you need to do to find your abstinence or to maintain your abstinence. Thank you so much for letting me share. It's really an honor. Thanks again, Olivia. I really appreciate it. And that's all I have for tonight.
Thank you so much, Linda. Let's give our speaker, Linda, a big round of applause for a wonderful share. Thank you so much. And now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I'll read them out loud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we will have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then in our parking lot. So the first question I saw come in, do you use acceptance from Big Book, and what does acceptance look like for you today?
Yes, I do use acceptance from the Big Book. I love the Big Book. And there are about four pages in there that specifically talk about acceptance. And I love that on page 417. And how I practice acceptance. Well, there are times I look in the mirror and I don't exactly like what I see. You know, I'm 72 years old. And, you know, there's a part of me that still wants to be able to work out and look like I was, you know, 42, right? That's not happening. So that's where I get to practice acceptance. You know, and just to realize that I do have my limitations today. I've done a lot of injury to my back, my lower back. And so I certainly can't do a lot of things that I used to be able to do. You know, I can't do any long hikes. I literally work out for an hour or less. Many days I work out for like 30 minutes. And I have to accept that. That's as good as I can do. And I'm grateful to be able to do it. Some days I know I'm living on borrowed time. Thank you.
Thank you. What tools do you use daily to stay abstinent?
Well, I mainly use, like I talked about, the prayer, the meditation. I love to connect with others. I connect with others on a daily basis, you know, with my fellows, and then of course with my sponsees, as they wish to call. You know, I'm not an avid writer. I don't write every day, but boy, when my butt is up against the wall, I pick up that pen. And of course, sponsor direction, I pick up the pen. I go to a literature meeting on Monday mornings, so. This morning I was at my literature meeting, and we go through, I think it's four or five different books, five different books. And so, you know, I have an action plan, my abstinence. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Can you please reread the quote on self-compassion? And they were looking also for what the source was from that.
Yes, this was, So I went to UCLA and I took a class on self-compassion. And I don't know if this was in some of the notes that we had from the class. So I don't know if it was a direct quote. I don't recall. But what I will say too is I can reread the quote. I also like to listen to self-compassion YouTubes and information and Kristen Neff is one of the well-known people and speakers on self-compassion, and you can read her information and listen to her YouTubes. Self-compassion, the ability to be kind to ourselves in the face of life's difficulties and our own shortcomings. So the basically ability to be kind to ourselves, no matter what. And even when we mess up or we're not perfect, we still care for ourselves.
Thank you. What belief replaced the belief that you weren't deserving, and how did you get there?
Great question. Through a lot of ways, a lot of ways. Mainly, practicing the program, that was the biggest start. And hearing the hope that I heard at meetings and hearing other people relay their stories and their experience about dealing with things. I've done a million affirmations. I can remember I had 3x5 cards and I would write affirmations on them all the time and I would read them every day. I read a lot of positive self-help books, would read from different authors. I've got books that I read that are on prayer that were in the affirmative so that the author writes affirmative prayers. I love affirmative prayers as though it's already happening to bring it into today. So that covers most of it. And hanging out with positive people.
Thank you. Do you experience sweetness of life without literal sugar? And what does that look like?
Yes, I do. Yes, sweetness of life in a lot of ways. I love hanging out with my friends. I love going to the beach. I love combining that. Like last Friday, I went to the beach with a program friend of mine, and it was the most marvelous 3 hours. I love to drive fast, so put me in my car and let me drive really fast to the canyons, to the beach. I have 5 cats, and it's just really something special to spend time with them. And I find the more gentle I am with them and the more loving I am with them, the more it helps me slow down and be loving to my little girl inside. Spending good quality time with my husband. We went to see a movie last week, and it was in a theater, that we don't do very often. That was really sweet. Just having a good meal that of course would not include any sugar, a good abstinent meal.
Thank you. Was there any initial weight gain when you began the 3 meals a day?
There was weight gain at the beginning because I was underweight. And there have been a couple of times, through the trying to get my food plan was a real process and it was difficult. So there was gaining of the weight. And sometimes, I don't know, through as working my program, but as it is, when my anorexia was really strong and more in the driver's seat, I would lose a couple pounds and I would have to, okay, time to, add some more food, add some more to my diet. Just like one would subtract things, I would have to add things. And that's how we work the program. But that's basically it.
Thank you. As someone who travels, how do you manage a loss of routine and take your program and food plan with you?
It can be rather tricky, but there is nothing like traveling and having to work really hard at the program, really hard. Thank God we can text from anywhere. We can make phone calls from anywhere, whether it's on the phone line or through WhatsApp. I've been able to stay in touch with programs, stay in touch with my sponsor through program, through text message, emails, phone calls. So I'm able to do that. Planning out the eating and planning out the potential challenges during the trip in advance of the trip has been really helpful. Through a lot of the traveling I did, I would at least on day one, I could take my own food with me. And, so for the most part, I would take my own food. And then after that, it was about, planning it out. Through the meals. And, for a long, long time, I would text my food plan in every day what I was going to eat. And I would stay with that food plan. And if I deviated from it, my sponsor wanted to know why. It was always why. Did something happen? And frequently something did. But it was all about the planning. and really having these discussions beforehand. But I've been able to do it. It's doable, definitely doable.
Thank you. How would you help a friend who may identify as an anorexic, but telling them to come to a place called Overeaters Anonymous? So maybe like
How would
that
I help a
overeaters
friend?
anorexic.
So, first of all, what I would do is I would invite them to come to a meeting that I go to, or that a meeting, I would be glad to join them at. But it would be an anorexic or an anorexic bulimic focus meeting. We've got specific websites for that that lists all those meetings that go on 7 days a week, all different days and times. Because the important thing is to be able to hear the message and to hear from people that you can identify with. Excuse me, that was the key for me. And back when I first got abstinent, there were a lot of anorexic bulimic meetings in person here in the Valley. So I felt very fortunate to have that. Everything's on Zoom today, or so much more is on Zoom today. So we have meetings that people attend from all over the country, and they're really great meetings. So I would start there, and then I would just give them suggestions on starting just a basic food plan and helping them get to three meals a day, and no matter what, and like I do with the bulimia, I eat it, I own it. Bottom line.
Thank you. What is your approach with sponsoring?
So my approach with sponsoring. So when I'm available to sponsor, I really like to have a little conversation about what the person would want in a sponsor. I would also want to find out how willing they are to work the program. If they're willing to work the steps, if they're willing to do the writing, willing to go to a certain number of meetings on a regular basis and to work with a higher power. And for me, I want to find these things out. And then I would let them know that I would expect them to go to so many meetings per week, work the steps together, and read the literature together, to basically do the work. And then at a certain point, would they be willing to be of service? And if they've been abstinent for a while, certainly to be of service. I find it's a really, really important part of staying abstinent and giving back. Thanks.
Thank you. How have you navigated body image and acceptance throughout your recovery?
Navigating body image. That's been a more difficult thing for me. Because control is what I'm all about, I've desperately wanted to control, my whole body. And it's just been something I've had to be willing to let go of and to practice that letting go and letting God. I've had many a conversation with my fellows, with my sponsor, about the fact that I'm powerless over the changes that the body has over time. And I'm just powerless over it. So I've just had to do the serenity prayer, going, okay, you know what? My arms don't look like, okay, I got to accept them. Thank God they still work. And so just that body image, and always being a real, very, very powerful judge of my own body. And trying to let go of that judgmentalism, that hasn't been easy.
Thank you. And how do you find the willingness to make a change when it's needed, when you don't want to or are scared?
So I believe in the prayer that says, God, help me to be willing, to be willing, to be willing, to be willing. And that's where God comes in God's time.
Thank you. And then, How was it for your partner slash husband slash family going through your OA journey with you?
Well, I had to keep the focus on myself. I did get to ask my husband to maybe not have certain things in the house, but I could not require him to not have certain things in the house. That can be very tricky if you're married or have roommates. Can be very tricky because there would be times that he would want to have a big fat dessert or have whatever he wanted to have, as a snack. And I just had to remind myself, that's his food. This is my food, and that's his food. It wasn't easy sometimes, because we see other food, but it's a matter of really like working your program harder than ever to be able to practice that kind of acceptance.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Linda, so much for your share and for your questions and answers and just for doing service with us tonight.
You're so welcome. My pleasure.